All right, guys, we're back with another episode of The Drop. And it seems like I did well last time. So Andre just gave me the reins. He's like, it's yours. So I'm going to go ahead and host this thing off. And I'm here with my amazing friends from all over America. Not really all over America, here in Miami. And of course, the UK general, of course, Andre Dixon. And so I'm here with my beautiful ladies in the building. How you guys doing? How you guys doing this week?
I'm good. I just got a quick question. Who's supposed to say hi first? The person that walks in the house or the people that's already in the house saying hi to the person that walked in the house?
The person that
that's
walks
a great, that's a first? Great question. That's
who
a
says
great
hi question. First?
Who says hi first?
The person I that walks in the house. They have to greet everybody.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
So we see what's been on Cammy's mind the last week and a half or so. we're going to get into that. So what's going on, Camellia?
Listen, I'm just happy to have a day off today on Memorial Day. All right. It's been a crazy week last week between transitioning into my new beauty suite and a whole wedding, 3-day wedding. So, yeah.
Yeah. That is right. The girls did participate in a cultural wedding. We're gonna get into that in the end of the show.
It wasn't traditional.
It was cultural. It was Indian wedding. It was beautiful. Yeah. Pictures. Like, we're gonna get into that in terms of all the different cultural things that that go on in those particular kind of weddings. I'm intrigued to hear about that. And of course, the last of the beautiful ladies, Jensine. What's up?
Yeah, so okay, first of all, when I walk in, I say a general hello to everybody. I don't single anyone out, and I sure did that in the wedding, and it was my first Indian wedding I went to, which it was so dope. I had so much fun.
So what do? Just stand in the front of the room and say, hey everyone, I'm here.
Yeah, hey everybody. And then like excited waves, maybe not the excited waves because that'd be weird, but you know, I say hi, and then that's me saying hi to everybody.
And then they're like, here comes the one that wants the attention.
Oh, yeah. Nah, he was low-key.
I'm joking.
Let me tell you, I've done that where I say hi to everybody, and I've had people come up to me later on, like 2 days later, and they're like, oh, you didn't say hi to so-and-so. Like, because I didn't say the person's name. It was like a huge deal. I'm not about that drama.
It definitely so can be annoying. Like that, man. You ignore one person, you're going to get it. Dre, what's up, man? How's the UK? Raining?
I'm good. Well, no. Actually, we've had a few good days of sun here. So everyone's happy. Everyone's getting along. Neighbors saying hello to each other. Everyone not just running from their car to their house. So, yeah, I'm enjoying myself. I'm even sitting outside. So I'm
sitting outside, man. I could imagine.
I'm just like you guys for this episode.
I see that, man. Yeah, that beautiful weather in the UK, beautiful weather here in Miami. So we're going to have an amazing show today. Of course, everyone is on a bank holiday. Pretty rare that it happens that way in both countries. But we're excited to be here with you guys to talk about a couple exciting topics. Today, I'm not even sure who. Oh, Cammy, this is Cammy's topic. I'm pretty intrigued to see how we're going to start the show off. And we're talking about exes now. And in terms of this particular topic, we're talking about your friend's ex and if it's okay to date them. Now, I know this can get convoluted. I've been around a couple of these situations where I've seen it be very, very tough in the situation. I've seen it where it was like, okay, I understand. So, Cammy, take it away. I want you to explain this topic to the crew and why it's so important to you.
Okay, so the reason we came up with this topic was because in Real Housewives of Atlanta, there was several memes going on about Portia, who is now dating Fallon, ex-husband, his name is Simon Gwobadia. Don't quote me if I said that name right. I don't know. I don't keep up with the show either, but there was just memes about, like, you know, dating your friends' exes. So let me just give you a quick background. So Fallon and Simon were married for 2 years, and Portia and Simon got engaged after dating for 1 month. Okay. Ooh. So I don't know that. Okay. So based on this timing, right, I'm going to say in this situation, okay, so people explained, I did some research on it like back 2 weeks ago, like when it happened. what happened was that in those shows, the Real Housewives of like those reality shows, sometimes they introduce somebody as their friend, but it's not their friend. It's just to get like a clean transition of a new character into the reality shows. That they're not okay. friends in real life. They just like say, this is my friend. Cause you have to know, like have a connection when they bring somebody into the show. So sometimes the producers will say, okay, you know, introduce this as your friend, but it's not. So I'm thinking that they're thinking that was the case with them. That's not really her friend. Also, I'm like, they're only married for 2 years, which is kind of like not that long. But then after getting engaged after 1 month is also not realistic. So I'm gonna just like let that go. Like, fine, that's not really her friend. So okay, fine, we can't get that upset. Now, in my personal experience, I've seen this happen like in my own family, and it worked out. Like, they're married forever. Like, one brother dated one, and then the other one passed it along, and the other one ended up marrying the other one, and it worked out. You know what I mean? It was meant to be. You can't stop love. And then there's like ones where I guess the woman could be upset. They were really in love and they were really hurt by the situation. And then you go and date like Shania Twain and her best friend that started cheating with her husband. And then and she got so depressed, she stopped singing and everything. So there's like levels to it. And I'm not going to say it's all around bad, but I know I wouldn't do it because there's plenty of fish in the sea. Like, why? Why I have to date somebody that dated my friend? That's just not me. But I can also see where it worked out in some situations. So if Camelia, you want to jump in?
I just have to add, like, when you said that the brothers, I have to like think about, like, who are you talking about right now? But now I know who, because you know what, the aunties, the mothers, the fathers, the uncles, they got the most drama because it goes way back then. That's where all the real drama's at, and they have no cell phone back then. But as far as like as what I can see, like what my generation, like who I grew up with, whether they be like friends or cousins, I do know where like some of my cousins, some of my friends were, you know, all messing with the same guy at one point.
Then, no, some boyfriends overlapped. We'll say boyfriends overlapped.
Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you like between my girl cousins and like the friends or whatever, all at one point, they were all talking crap about each other at that moment. And now that that guy is like out of the picture, or it was like two guys at one point too. Now that those guys are out of the picture, now they're just like friendly, like nothing ever happened. So I guess it's okay because from what I can see from based on, you know, personal experience, it didn't affect their relationship. It will only affect it for a short period of time, but now they're close again, whether it be fake or not, we don't know. But I mean,
that's the situation. It seems
exactly.
I don't know. Girls tend to do that. They'll be mad at somebody, then bond over that particular situation when they're gone. Gen Z. Yeah.
I would have to say, I think it was probably easier when we were younger, like we're in high school, you know, it's not so serious, not in there long enough, or maybe even in their early 20s when you're just dating a little bit and then you're like, okay, well, maybe we're not a match. But and you know, usually when you're dating at that young age, it's because your circle of friends are hanging out with another circle of friends. And everybody's got like kind of getting to know each other, and maybe they're good with one friend or another. Now, that is, I would say, like I don't want to call it like a shallow relationship, but it was a relationship that hasn't really developed much. I think it's not okay though when like one of your best friends has a really long-term serious relationship and then they go and skip over, like that's not cool. I know that's for me like breaking code. And you know, I know they've talked about this several times, but the whole thing with Tristan and Jordan, what was her name? Was it Jordan?
Yeah,
like that whole situation, like that wasn't cool because that's somebody that's close to your, in my opinion, someone who you're close with.
Yeah,
and you have to think that it's not just one person's relationship you're messing up; it's several different individuals. So I think there's just levels to it.
What about from like a perspective of like I noticed for men, like they're fine. Like you can date my ex; it's cool with another dude, like their friend. But then I've seen that guys pass along a girl like, no, it's cool. But girls be like, even if they're not even that close to that girl, like it's all this big drama. So I think like your gender plays a role into it too. Like, I feel like men are more open to like other guys dating their exes versus like girls. They'll just be mad for no, even if they know it's not that serious. I feel like they just like to be mad sometimes.
What do you think, Dre?
That makes sense.
Well, I mean, just because, yeah, I definitely understand, you know, when you're younger, then, you know, everyone kind of, you know, switch partners or girlfriends every 2 seconds. But I think, like, yeah, definitely I agree with Kamini. Like, if it's someone who you've been dating for a long period of time and stuff like that, I just think it's weird. I just think, you know, if I just, you know, call it straight, like, I just think it's strange. Like, if you are, like, if a guy says to me, oh, hey, you know that girl that you was dating, you know, do you mind if I, it's just weird to me. And this is something that I can't be friends with you anymore. Like, I may not care about that girl in that way anymore, but it's just, I just feel like you're looking at my life in a different way. I feel like you're waiting, or an opportunist, and you're waiting to be able to kind of get what's mine or it's just strange. I just think there's some things in life, it's just like kind of off limits. Like, unless it's something that you've met the love of your life and, you know, you're willing to risk it all and you're willing to lose that friendship, then that's cool. But like, I just think that, you know, there's so many people in this world. Why would you want to date your friend's ex? You're gonna, if it's a good friend, you will lose that friend. It's never gonna be the same. It's just gonna be weird. Mm-hmm. And I personally, like, I've had the experiences with this, obviously, when I'm a kid, but like, you know, I don't really look at people the same way if they're like, oh, hey, look, you know, who's that girl you're dating a couple of girls ago? You know, do you mind if I'm like, nah, bro, nah, you can step that way. You're more than welcome to do it, but well, we ain't cool no more. As soon as you actually ask me, then our friendship is kind of not that way anymore.
So wait, I want to ask a question. So for guys, right, is it like according to bro code that you, if it's someone's ex, it would only be customary to ask that person if it's okay for them to go ahead and date? Or do you just see them show up together one day?
What do you mean? Sorry, say that again.
So like if your ex, right, came up and like maybe one of your friends wanted to date your ex, like, so it's customary for a guy to ask the, you know, for a
guy. From a guy? Yeah. Guys are supposed to do that. Majority of the time, you just hear about that they're seeing the ex, or you hear it from other people. But I would say you're actually supposed to do that. I don't know if you agree, Chris, but I just, you know, that's something you're supposed to do. But I mean, it's different now. I feel that, especially with celebrities, they all date the same girls, like again and again and again. Like there's no other girls in the world.
But they're not friends, though.
But it's just strange. Yeah, but they kind of know each other.
Know.
So it's like, yeah. Like Lori Harvey.
It's the same, like four girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Lori Harvey. I'm not
shaming
or whatever. Karrueche, Lori Harvey, them girls. But it's just like, yo, like, how many girls in the world are there and you guys are all dating and mixing the same ones? So it's almost now it's different, where I might be from a different generation.
J-Lo.
I would say. You guys are fighting over the same girls. You know how many women there are in this world? I just don't understand it. That's why I can't personally be a friend with anyone even thinks to ask. It's just strange. I don't care if it's someone I was dating when I was like 19. It's just still weird to me. It's just like, it's strange. But
okay, but Dre, would you rather a friend ask, or would you rather them go behind your back?
Neither. You know, to be honest with you, like I'm more respectable. Like I'm more like, if you do it behind my back, I'm just gonna be like, hey, good, and keep it moving. If we're still not gonna be friends in the same way, but I would at least be able to, like, if I see you at a barbecue or something like that, hey, how you doing? You good? All right, how's the kids? Okay. Or how's your friends? Or how's your job? Good. All right, that's it. You keep it moving. But like, you'll just get a hi. Hello, Jen. You'll get a Jen scene. Hello to everyone.
This is what would happen if somebody dated Dre's ex behind his back that he knew. Because usually, you know, these things happen in proximity, you know? It usually happen because we work together. I know you. So usually gonna be someone in media or someone. So he's gonna be like, oh, sure, no problem. You can go ahead and date her. But watch, she's gonna get blocked from every show, every premiere, all of a sudden he has no perks. Real cold. And he's like, what's going on?
You feel the chill. Yeah, you'll feel the chill, like, differently. Like, I'm not one, and it, again, like, there might be different guys who just, like, don't see it in the same way. I just don't understand it. So when I see all of these guys, and I'm not knocking Lori Harvey or who else is going around?
Karrueche.
Or what's her name? The Kim Kardashian. It's like, there are so many women in this world. I don't understand how you would say, like, Michael B. Jordan, like, was the last of the normal type of guys, I would say. And I was just shocked that after she's gone through so many different guys, I just don't get. Like, they call her Thanos. Like, I don't want my woman to be called Thanos, like, ever. Like, if you know Marvel, you know, it's just strange to me.
But we all know more Marvel, and I think, you know, Lori Harvey was never married. She was never engaged.
Yeah.
And
she's young. So I don't think, you know.
And J-Lo is Thanos. Everybody knows J-Lo is Thanos.
You think J-Lo's Thanos?
She got married to them,
she got engaged. She has all the rings. She got all the rings. She did. Yeah, Lori Harvey did it, and she's really young.
I'll say J-Lo. J-Lo has been, right, let's walk through it. So J-Lo's been out with Diddy. That was the first one. Then famous people.
Mark Anthony. Ben Affleck, Mark Anthony.
Ben Affleck, Mark Anthony.
Her dancer. A-Rod. And don't forget her dancer. And we're probably missing like four more, but it's just that.
Yeah, right, yeah.
There was a waiter.
Yeah, fair enough.
There was a waiter too. All right, see?
Yeah. There's a lot going on, yeah.
Yeah,
and Lori's in her early 20s. But anyways, like, what got me turned off by Michael B. Jordan was that when they said that he looked like Steve Harvey, and I couldn't unsee it. So now I'm grossed out, and I want to vomit, and I can't watch anything with Michael B. Jordan in it anymore, because now I see Steve Harvey, and she's dating her stepdad.
They got the same mustache.
I can't watch him. Man. I can't look at him no more. I can't.
Very, very interesting topic, guys. For those out there thinking about dating your ex, if you're coming from Dre, fellas, go ahead and ask. You might not like the response from that. Ladies, I guess just talk about them until they're gone, and then you guys will be best friends. That's what I've kind of gotten from this particular situation when it comes to dating your ex. And so just whatever you do out there, just make sure you look at all the factors around the situation, right? And you don't stop. Like we said, we've seen it work every now and then. We're not going to say the percentages are low, but it depends on the situation. So it's a very good conversation for you guys to go ahead and have amongst your friends and like we do here on The Drop. So the next topic is pretty interesting, you know, being a business owner and coming up as a guy, especially here in Miami. I definitely know about this topic. Faking it until you make it, just making sure that you look the part when you may not possibly, what they say, probably make it, what it means, like maybe have the particular potential things around you to make what you look like actually truthful. A lot of Instagram right now. So Camellia, this is your topic. I want you to take this one, fake it until you make it. What did you mean when you put that in the chat about something that you wanted to talk about? And then obviously the crew is going to cipher it down.
All right, listen, we live in Miami and I think we see a lot of fakers here. I was on Tinder for like 2 days and I met a guy and I texted him, and then he was just happened to be a tourist that came inside Miami. And then he was like, oh, I kind of like get the vibe that people in Miami kind of like to show off. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what they do in Miami. Like, they literally fake, they'll rent a car like for the weekend that they don't really have, let's say like a Ferrari. I don't know what nice cars are. Ferraris, right? Porsches.
Wow.
Salute to Camille for not being materialistic.
What are nice cars? Ferrari, I think.
I know there's like Aston Martins. Like, I don't know what level that's considered a nice car. I don't know.
Yes.
I mean, the level I'm on right now are like Mercedes and Lexuses, like.
Okay. Those are regular cars. Oh, my bad. Yeah. I'm hearing the levels. Okay, my bad.
Those are regular. Yeah.
Those are regular cars. Okay. For us Honda drivers out there, you know, those are regular.
All right. Continue. So he just pointed out pretty much that he gets the vibe that people in Miami are so fake and they just like to show off. And I had to just give him a confirmation like, yes, it is. It's true. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of it in Miami. Sometimes it's just from the greetings. Like, you know, in Miami, there's a big Hispanic culture. So a lot of it is always like, sometimes you don't have to like the person, but you're still going to be like, ay, oh my God, mama, like on each cheek, you know, there's a lot of that. And I feel like it can be exhausting, but I feel like there's times where faking it till you make it can actually benefit you. So this is like kind of where I want to talk about it. where I say where it can be exhausting is sometimes where people on social media will post stuff that aren't even real, or sometimes they'll go broke trying to keep up with something that they don't even have or portray. And I know one famous post right now are like posting like Birkin shopping bags, like your man got you a bunch of Birkin shopping bags. Well, there's a whole thing on where you can go on eBay and purchase the empty Birkin bags and then open it up and
post shopping bag.
Yes, the shopping bags, and be like, oh, my man got this for me. Like, that's a whole thing.
Are you saying?
Yeah.
And it's a shopping bag, not even.
It's a shopping bag. Nothing is in it. But then.
But you know, the one that says thank you?
Yes.
I'm just kidding. So, I don't know if it says thank you. I don't know about that.
No, and it has like
the orange version has that.
And then the caption of the girl be like, oh my God, my man is so in love with me. He bought this for my birthday. He is so supportive. Blah, blah, blah. That's like a whole thing. Okay. Then where will faking it till you make it like actually benefit you? And I feel like it will benefit you, like how you mentioned, Chris, in like maybe for like a role at a job. Like sometimes, you know, the qualifications to get inside of a job are like sometimes crazy. Like you
gotta load up that resume.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Sometimes you got to. Sometimes, and honestly, you can play the part until like it actually becomes like really you. Sometimes playing the part actually helps you, you know, become that person. And in that case, it will benefit you. But then is it really like, to me, like, what do you guys think? Like, do you think like baking it till you make it can, what did you, have you guys done it? Do you guys use it? Like, or is it just
I'm a shoot to Dre, but I realized that Camellia knows the Ferrari of bags, but not that Ferrari is, you know, high end car. She know the Ferrari of bags. I know, right?
I'm missing it. Like, but Ferraris are nice cars, right? In that category.
Yes, they are. They're probably they're up there in the six figures of cost. Yes. Dre, out there before I get to Gen Z, who's actually grew up in LA and now lives in Miami, so she can really give us a taste of both of the pretentious cities that she's lived in. But Dre, you live over there in the UK. I know there's a lot of pretentiousness, there's a lot of things that happen over in the UK. Tell us about some of the fake it till you make it situations over there. is it cool, is it nice, is it acceptable? What's up?
I think a lot of the stuff that we do over here in Europe is kind of mirrored by what we see in the States. So I do think that there's a more so like an influencer thing of like, yo, I've got to be at a hotel, I've got to do this, you know, take these pictures of this nice place that I'm at. Like there's pressure for influencers, I'll say, or creators to be doing something dope. Now whether you can afford to do that all the time, then that's a different thing. So I would say in that sense, there's a fake it to make it. But Verge, actually, this whole podcast and the whole history of Verge is actually formed by faking it till I make it. I literally walked to every advertiser that there was and saying, oh, I've got the, you know, this is the biggest, you know, student lifestyle magazine in the UK. You haven't heard of it? Oh my God. And literally at that point, I had a picture, binder and nothing else. You know, I created the actual magazine cover and then I sold advertising just off of that. Like literally had no other money except for like what was in my bank account. We had no advertising. I was like, yeah, people advertising with us, the majors. So we've got Clinique, we've got Ford, we've got this and the other. And then it's so funny that people actually advertise based on that. And then Clinique and Ford advertise because of the other guys. So you have to kind of, if you are an entrepreneur, you have to fake it till you make it. You can't just come out with just like, you know, at some point, obviously, when you get an investment, you have to, the figures ain't gonna lie. Like, that's what it is. But you, until you get to that point where you're looking to make that step, an extra step up, then you have to fake it. But I would say on other things in personal life, like, you shouldn't really do that because, you know, you should be able to just say, look, we're at a restaurant because, you know, this PR company sorted it out. Thank you for that. Because it's more impressive to people that you can go to these cool places, you can go on holidays and you don't have to pay for shit, rather than making out like you're rich, personally.
So in your argument, I hear two sides of it, from the entrepreneurial side and the personal side. The entrepreneurial side kind of sounds like, hey, I believe in myself, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to go ahead and talk my future. And then the personal side can sound like, well, do I actually do believe in myself that I can accept myself for who I am? Instead of faking it. So it's a nice little catch 22. Jen.
People give people money only if they think you don't need it. That's just the bottom line. If they think you need it, if you go and say, Jane, and I'm sure you agree, you're coming in, like, you, if I say, oh, hey, listen, I've got this idea, and all I need is your money, and then I can make this thing go, compared to, this thing's going already, and we actually don't need your business, but if you want to, then you can get on. That's, that whole thing literally is the way that you actually get on. But go on, Jen.
Well, I think there's a fine line between faking it till you make it and having confidence. So, like, I think with business, like, you're being yourself, but you're being confident with it. And you may not be exactly where you say you are, but you know that you're going to get there. So that may be a little bit of the faking it in a business setting. But, you know, being in Miami, there's a lot of pretentious people, and there's a lot of people that are just faking it, and they ain't making it at all. They are not making it. So if anything, you know, a lot of people, as they're trying to fake it and make themselves look like or portray themselves to be something else, it doesn't last long at all. And I think, you know, if you're trying to be flashy or spending money on things that you shouldn't be, it'll die out really quickly. And I think that's also something that we see here. What do you think, Cammy?
I think that faking it till you make it is all right, but until the point you become delusional, that's when the issue is. And delusionality is the issue in Miami. Now, let me speak from a business perspective. In a business perspective, you got to scan the room. Are you the smartest person in the room? If you are, you're in the wrong room. But also, you can play them. Play them like the fiddles they are, because you can fake it till you make it if everybody in the room is dumb except you. Now, if you're in the room, now you're in the correct room, which means you're in the room with people who are smarter than you, which it should be your goal in life all the time, is to be around people that you can learn from. I think you need to humble yourself, because them being the experts that they are, know when you're full of shit. They can tell. They're not going to tell you to your face, but they know you're full of shit. Instead of you being humble and learning from them, and you know what I mean, you can actually, don't have to fake it, you can actually learn from them, like, from these experts. You know, there's no reason to, but I noticed that people who fake it so they make it, like, act a certain way, whether this be in, like, their job, business, or personal, they're usually around people that are stupider than them. So can you blame them? And sometimes, like, me on the outside looking, and I'm with a group of people I don't usually hang out with all the time, so I'm like, let's say I'm the new one, right? I can teach, like, this person, because everybody around me is stupid, and I can't blame them for playing all of them, and they eat it all up. And I'm just like, you're so full of crap. And in the dating scene too, like, I was on the plane on the way home from Jacksonville, and the guy sitting next to me on the plane, whatever, I guess he's trying to hit on me. First he talks to me in Spanish, then he starts showing me pictures of his boat, mind you, I didn't ask, and he's showing me pictures of his house, and I didn't ask, like, trying to impress me, like, that he has a boat, and that he can park his boat in his backyard, and I didn't ask, but to me, I'm like, I feel like you're lying. I'm like, why do you have to, like, show me this, like, for you to impress me? If you really have this, you don't have to be, like, trying to prove something. So I feel like you're a liar. So I'm, like, easily not impressed either, because I'm gonna just think you're one of those Miami people that's just full of crap. So that's I have to say. I'm thinking for you.
So I'm gonna jump in and defend my city, because, you know, I tend to be privileged to be in a lot of rooms where a lot of real people that's really doing it in Miami are. So in that, I can see where a lot of people, and they let me stop. I can see where they have the issue sometimes in terms of people feeling that they're fake when they actually have it. So I feel it's just the city itself, because the city is so beautiful. Everything in Miami, if you haven't been to Miami, unless you're in the real heart of it, if you're around the tourist areas, or even sometimes some of the suburbia, it just looks nice. You know what I'm saying? People, you get your home, it just looks good. You don't even have to fake it to be in places that look amazing. You can have an amazing, beautiful scenery in Miami, go to Bayside and not spend a dime, you know? And people would think that your life is great just by where you go, you know, and they think that you're living just because of the scenery in Miami. So I do understand why some people would want to fake it, probably, you know, spend all their money to make sure that the looks, because it would play on your heart if you cannot have the access to that stuff in Miami. That's the problem there. If you don't have the regular access, possibly as a DJ, entertainer, someone that's on the scene, someone that's hooked up, it's very hard to live this life for real, because it is expensive, you know, and it's very hard not to. So why else are you in Miami? Why are you here? Just to look at other people enjoy themselves? No, I want to be a part of that.
But that's the perception. that right. You know, if I can defend the fakers. Yeah, because I can see why some of them do it. I think that there's tasteful ways to be able to fake it. So, you know, the guys, especially I can only speak about them, is that they get the car or they get, you know, the bottle and all these things that to other people are comfortable with themselves look kind of desperate and it looks sad. And then you've got like five guys sharing one bottle, like all of that type of stuff.
Right.
Sad to me, but I get it. Like if you're a single guy and you just want to meet someone and, you know, you think that you can get those type of Instagram type of girls and those, that's what you're attracted to. And you know that that's what they're attracted to, which is the money and the cars and all of the lifestyle. And you have to kind of, you're do that because you think, oh, okay, well, you know, in their delusional world that once she gets to know the real me and then she'll be hooked on me and she won't care about that stuff. And that's the delusion that they have. It never ever works out, but that's what they want.
Because but in Miami, what I'm saying in Miami is if I fake it, I will get what I want. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so if I rent the car for the weekend, even though I broke, I'm going to get that money. Girl to hang with me. That's what I'm saying.
No,
so
it's not like, right, yeah. Yes.
So, it's not like you're faking it.
Yes.
So it's not like you're faking it. You're like, damn, these girls are not attracted to me. Jeez, it's me. Oh my gosh, let me park the car. It's not the car. You're like, no, the girls are like, ooh, the car. And they'll jump in. And then you have to now try to play that lifestyle until you realize that your bank account is just dropping. So it is a drug, yeah. Because it works. Because it actually works. So I'm saying that's the reason why I think in Miami.
Chris, didn't mean to cut you. But like Chris and I being on the other side where we've had to pay to go into clubs and we've had to be able to pay for clothes and all those types of things. And once you get that stuff for free, and once you get in the club for free, then you see, oh, actually, on the other side of the fence, it's different.
Right.
So those guys who haven't got any hookups or haven't got any form of, ways to be able to get in except for just a lie, then I understand. But then what they have to do is that they have to make sure that the lie is not unbelievable. But they say, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Well, all you're doing with all of that though is attracting another fake person.
But that's my goal for the night though. I don't think the guys are buying the Bentley. I don't think I'm renting the Bentley to find my wife. I don't think that's what I'm doing for the weekend. That's the goal is not to find my soulmate. The goal is to find somebody that's attracted to this shit so that I can get what I need, which is also another pretentious way of going.
Do we have to find the dummy in the
crowd? It's not find the dummy. I am going to find the dummy. That's the thing about Miami. Yes. The dummy will come. Yes. It will come.
Dummies.
All right, but that's one weekend. What if we live here, like you have to live here. So you're going to be fake every single weekend because I hate you.
The next weekend I'm gone. The next weekend the car's in the shop. The next weekend the car's in the shop. My uncle's in town. I could play this for a while until I get what
that's
I want.
That's where Tammy says that until it becomes an illusion. Like that's
right, because you have, because you have it in your head. That I have that. You've seen it already. I ain't show you a picture. You've driven in the car. You know what I'm saying? That's real. It's the psychology 101. You got to now unbox what you've actually done in real life. And then you got to really be like, oh, this dude is actually fake. And then you got to get the proof of that. You know? Mm. So it's a lot. It's a lot that you have to do. Time. It's like an investigation. You know how them things take years? That's how long it'll take before you realize, like, oh, shoot.
I'll be knowing from, like...
So, like, one thing I think we can conclude about faking it till you make it is that it is a form of manifestation, right? We're just manifesting good stuff. And that's the new thing now. It's manifesting, right?
Yeah. But I'm with Cammy. Manifesting outside of the delusional aspect of it.
Yeah, exactly. As long as you understand what you're doing, and you're not pretending like you...
And please just make sure, rule 101, that the person that you're faking it till you make it with is just stupider than you, because people who are intelligent are aware that you're full of shit and you look dumb and we laugh about you and we
fake it till we make it so that we can build ourselves up but not to impress other people. That's
to manifest what you want, not for like somebody else. That's a good point. Yeah,
well, when it becomes an issue is when you use it to impress other people. That's
right, that thing, that's when it becomes an issue, right?
Yeah,
actually, Camney, that's the second time Camney used stupider. And I had to actually look it up to see if it was an actual word, you know, because I was like, she's talking about people. She's calling, but it is actually, It is an actual. Right. It is an actual word. So shout out to our like when she got it right.
You know, I was about to defend my friends. I was gonna be like, Nicki Minaj says bestest and it works. And
I had to check because I'm like, she's talking about people's intelligence while saying a word that I'm not familiar with. So I had to go check. Stupid.
Dennis is on a roll with these backhanded compliments, though.
I know.
Speaking of backhanded,
I'll say eat it next time.
Wait to steal my segue. Way to steal my segue, Camelia.
My bad. I had to call you out, though.
I'm trying to set,
the third time in this podcast already.
I'm trying to set up the next segment there, man. I'm trying to segue straight into our segment. Camby kind of gave it away and exactly what we were doing. That was great. That was a backhanded compliment that I did give Camby for knowing the word that I thought was not and being on the team with all the knowledge and intellect. And so we're going to go get to Gen Z's topic, which is this topic, the backhanded compliments, yo. Do we even notice them? Do we give them out on purpose? Do we sometimes do it without our own knowledge? The backhanded compliment, have you received one, Gen Z? Have you given them out? What's up with this topic?
Well, let me tell you, the last time I got a backhanded compliment was about 45 minutes ago before the start of this podcast. I won't call out Chris's name.
But you left that gap in there for a second. I was like, what did I say?
I know Dre is worried. That's why I'm like,
no, but I'm usually not good at knowing a backhanded compliment. Because I will tell you though, living in a pretentious city, I've heard so many times. Like, wow, if you lost weight, man, you'd be a 10. Like, like what?
That is so messed up.
Dang, somebody told you that?
That's horrible. Yeah.
Or I've heard, like, you'd be so fine. Like, oh my God, you'd be so fine if you just lost some weight. Like, what? Wow.
Who are these people? Tell me. I'll beat them up for you.
You'd be so fine. You're just fine, but so fine, though. So fine. It's the next level, I guess, for them. Yeah.
I'm right? Like, okay. And then I was like, and then, you know, my favorite one was in Hawaii. And you guys, you know, like, well, I don't even know if there's a backhanded compliment, but the bus driver told me I look like his dead fiance.
You didn't get confirmation? You didn't get confirmation to see how this chick looked?
I got him. Like, I need a picture. He did pull up a picture. I think he did pull up a picture.
Did? Yeah, he did? Yeah, I don't remember. Oh,
I don't did she look like him?
Yeah, I don't remember. Like, but Jensi looks Hawaiian. She could pass as Hawaiian.
Well, for those that haven't seen Jensi, she looks like Schwarzenegger. Nicole Schwarzenegger.
My dad thought she was Mongolian.
Mongolian.
She looks like Nicole.
So here's my question.
Looks like a pussycat doll.
I guess it's a two-part question. Like, how do you know when it's a backhanded compliment? And when you get one, when you recognize that it is a backhanded compliment, how do you respond? Because, like, I didn't know how to be, like, oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry that your ex died, but thank you. She must have been pretty and fine. I don't know. Like, what do you say?
I'm gonna let Cammy jump on this one. I need to hear what
all right. Picture this. You post your bathing suit swimsuit photo, and they comment, "You're so brave." That is backhanded as F. Like, come on now. Like,
is that even a compliment?
I haven't seen this. This never happened to me, but I see this in one particular person I know that's now gaining like momentum. And I don't know how you just live each day confidently, still thinking that's a compliment that you're so brave. Because that's not.
You're
that's
so brave.
That's oh, mean as hell. Oh, but when I was little, looking back at it, like my grandma, my racist grandmother, my dad's mom.
I love this show.
She would say like things like, oh, you know, when you're little, like you're so pretty, but you know, like, you know, but if you didn't have dark skin, you know, you could really talk about finding a husband and being dark, like a dark Indian. I'm like, oh God. And I'm like, really? What's wrong with my color? Like, you know, they start putting things in your subconscious.
Yeah,
when you're young, you never hear your parents say anything about your color, and then someone else is like, okay, there's an issue with my skin color. Okay, whatever. That's why they be taking your men, those dark girls. Anyways.
You gotta drop a bomb on that one, boy.
Sound effects.
Yeah, I know.
Camille, what's up? Backhanded compliments. Have you ever received one? Given them one out?
I have, and I can't.
You look like a giver. You look like a backhanded giver.
No. I am not. I'm a very nice person, and I know I've received backhanded compliments, and at some point in my life, throughout growing up, and I just remember not being brave enough to stand up for myself. And if it does happen to me again, I feel like I have something to say now, but I have received it, and I know what it feels like. So I don't do it to other people, Chris. but those things are very real. Like I'm trying to think of like some in particular, but I really can't. But some I could say, like, maybe sometimes people have told me like, oh, you're cute for an Indian girl, which I don't even know what that means. And I don't know.
Y'all backhanded compliments are mad racial, yo.
Now we all
grew up in Caribbean house. Yeah. A lot of them grew up in Caribbean households. They have the best ones. Like my aunt, the sisters are funny. Like the aunts, the sisters, so they're my aunts, two sisters, and one aunt was eating or tasting the other one's food, and she was, oh, you put salt in it this time. Stuff like that.
Gen Z says it with enthusiasm. Enthusiasm, from my uncle and my dad. Like, I be feeling so bad.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dre.
And your cousin.
Dre, now we know the UK. The UK is full of cynicism. You guys are the kings and queens of all of this backhanded stuff. I need some of this. You guys built on this, man.
Sarcasm, boy. I'm telling
Sarcasm.
You get you. Right. Okay. So there's two different worlds from it. I've actually done a backhanded compliment, but I actually didn't mean to do that. So I was picking up one of my children from school, and then there was one of the moms that I know, and she's lost a whole bunch of weight. And so I just said, without thinking, I said, "Oh my God! Like, you look great. You lost a whole bunch of weight." And then so she was just like, and so I didn't know whether, like, she's still cool with me, thank God. But I literally heard myself saying it, and I couldn't stop myself. And I was just like, I meant well, but she lost a whole bunch of weight. So she was like, probably thinking, what, was I that big before? Like, was I some type of, well?
For sure.
Like things like that, I know, oh God, I'm always putting my foot in it all the time. But guy, I'm saying from another point of view, guys just get no compliments. It's like, it's an insult. So it's just, guys, you got to be, I always find it interesting if a woman had to be a man for the day, like, and you have to kind of get exactly the raw type of comments that we get. So I saw a guy, and I hadn't seen him in a long time. And so he said to me, oh, straight away, like, oh, you put on weight. Oh, my God. He's like pushing my stomach. And I was like,
straight, yeah.
Hold on a second. So therefore, you've got to come loaded. So I had to say to him, oh, my God, your hair's thinning a bit. Like, what's going on there? I heard you had a divorce. Are you okay? In England, it's like you've got to have your finger on the trigger quite. I'm very, very ready to go at any point. But, I've got to get better at the compliments.
But in England, it seems like you guys have these backhanded compliments and you know the person's throwing a jab, but you guys do it very, like, in a regular conversation, very chippy.
Yeah.
So you would think you think an American would go over would probably not even understand some of the backhanded comments because of the way
about him. Yeah.
You've just been sliced so many times. So it would just be like, I didn't know you. You here? You must have a new job because you normally couldn't afford to. It's quite expensive to be here. So it'd be like little things like that, like, make you understand where you are. But go on, Jesse.
Well, what I was gonna say, I mean, I think it also depends on the context. Like, Camila mentioned that her uncles and like do the backhanded compliments, but I know they're doing it like out of an endearment, like they're just playing around and joking, and it's funny. And they do it because I'm mostly okay with it. I'm like, I think it's funny too, and I'm laughing with them. But I think it's like different when you're maybe like in a work setting and then someone gives you a backhanded compliment, and that could be offensive too. So I think we have to put in the context also.
No, I was just gonna say, I did do a backhanded compliment the other day.
I knew it.
It was by accident, but you know, I was lashing one of my clients, and she just told me that she was 50 something years old, and I didn't know. I thought she was like in her 30s. So I go to her, I'm like, oh my god, I didn't know you were that old. You look so good. That's a backhanded compliment.
I don't know.
That was an awkward moment. All right.
Well, maybe that's the fact that you called her old.
I felt bad that I called her old.
Like, 58 old girl, what are you talking about? No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, I think it's cultural. Like, Jamaican culture is very brutal, and you have to have tough skin by the time you turn 1 year old. Heaven forbid you're fatty boom boom, or you have a big nose, then you're known as Big Nose, or that becomes your nickname, or Big Head, and that becomes your nickname. So just culturally, you're just already like
definitely from the family.
You're used to that kind of compliment.
I appreciate it.
Chris. We have to be very, very strong.
You can't have thin skin around here, man. Absolutely. Nah. The women in the family would tear you up. That's the thing about it. That's who will get you, man. So you got to make sure that you're on your toes, man. I think that we had an amazing show. Obviously, I told you that Camellia was a backhanded giver. I told you guys that she confirmed it. So I feel good about that. Obviously, nobody on this show is any more stupider today than we came on. I think we learned a lot. And of course, so for the crew, Cammy, Camille, Camellia, Jensine, Dre.
Chris, I'm going to do my famous
curveball. Yes, let's come on.
Yeah, famous audible. Like, I was just going to ask, you know, as a group, what ridiculous thing has someone tricked you into doing or believing? What, you know, if we started off with you, Chris.
Oh, my bad, guys. See, this is my second week on the show. I didn't see that was one of the things on the warm-up round. I didn't skip that. I did that. My bad. I apologize, guys.
Don't worry.
You know, I'm going to get written up. Verge Magazine Office. Anyways. All right. One of the ridiculous things that I've been tricked into doing or believing. I was tricked into believing that Incredible Hulk was an actual solid drink. That's what I believe. So those Incredible Hulk that came out, it's Hennessy and Hypnotic mixed together. Back in about 2003, my friends convinced me that this was the drink. It's nice, it's smooth. You can have about two or three of them and you'll be right. They lied. And let's say my 21st birthday, I remember I was hurling over a fence and they were all there laughing at me. But the night was great. And so I would say at the top of my dome, I don't think I've ever had another Incredible Hulk, but I was definitely tricked into thinking that was a solid drink. And T-Pain was singing about it. It was big in hip hop. Nah.
I don't think I've ever had it.
No.
Yeah, we did. We had it.
Oh, we
one.
Did?
We did. At one Getty. Yeah. And we don't remember it because none of us finished it.
Oh. Yeah, Hypnotic and Hennessy. Oof, that's a young man's drink. I'll tell you that. Jen?
Okay, so I've recently been doing like my ancestry and stuff. So I've been like on this history mission, and I realized, and I was talking to some of the girls about it too. Christopher Columbus, why was it in school that I was taught that he discovered America? And then there was a whole damn holiday on it. That was ridiculous. Yeah. He never even stepped foot in America. Like,
that's
why,
a great
why?
One. I like that one. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, you keep your neck on them, Jen. Your foot on their neck, I mean, your neck on their mother.
You know, I'm just trying to say, I'm like, why didn't we, if we didn't even have a damn holiday over there and statues, I'm like, my life is a lie.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
A lot of history is a lie. A lot of history has been tricked.
Okay. We're celebrating Tulsa, Oklahoma today, and we didn't even read about that in our school books, but that's a whole other topic. Go ahead, Camellia, I'm sorry.
Well, I just been tricked that this guy loved me, cared about me.
Oh, God.
And I got played. I got played.
Well, what happened? We should have made you go last. We need
That's
to hear
another
this.
Story for our podcast.
Oh, no, no, no. We got 5 minutes.
And I got played. That short story. And then I got played.
We got five. Was he short? No. Was he short?
No,
tall?
No, he was tall.
No.
Okay, that's why. Okay, that's why. Fell in love quick, boy. Kenny.
I'm sorry. Any type of peer pressure, like, oh, sneak out the house, you won't get caught, not caught. Oh, drink this, keep drinking, you're gonna feel good, vomited everywhere all over somebody's house with Camellia. Oh, and any type of multi-level marketing scheme, like Herbalife, just stop. I mean, the product may work, but come on, you ain't gonna get rich off selling to your family members, like, who may only buy 1 month. The end.
Oh, Dre, this is the biggest one, though. when girls in Miami say, well, you tell them that when they call you to go out, they'll come. But when you actually call them, they don't have an excuse and they don't show up. And
I've done
that. Oh, I'm sorry, the girls. That's always the biggest trick. Always, always.
You phone them. You already done booked. Yeah, you know, the booth. And then you got your friends there. Your friends will be like, yo, where's this girl's coming? Like, let me. And then the guy that's organizing has got all the pressure. And then he phones the girl and he goes, I'm still out with my friends. And I don't know when.
You see, it's all fun when you're like texting and flirting. But then it really happens. You're like, oh, shit, this boy was serious. Oh, like, that's what happens.
And that guy's got pressure on him. People looking at him like, yo, what's going on? Where's these girls? And
then like, I didn't know you were serious. I thought you were playing.
And then the girl's like, oh, I'm sorry, I fell asleep.
What kind of girl?
All right, this happened to Dre in America.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
It happens. It happens, man. And they don't even text you back. Actually, you would be lucky to get a 2 a.m. text.
No, you're getting pressure, bro. You're getting pressure. And then
from the guys, I know.
You get pressure, and then the guy's like, yo, what's going on? And then you phone him back again. You're like, oh, my friend just doesn't feel like going. I'm just trying
to. Well, back up on. You already got the boots. So what did you do? How'd you get? Did you call some other girls?
You just got to try to get girls
take
in the
L?
Club. Yeah,
take the L?
Yeah, take the L.
We,
oh, man, what? If men tell the truth about the L's they take, for real, like if we actually tell the real truth about growing up in the L's that
this needs to be a podcast topic. I want to hear
that should be one. We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah,
we'll be cool with that. Like men take a lot of, we take a lot of L's.
We can laugh about it now.
If you, go ahead.
If you, I just say this. All right, if you get asked, I would say, okay, I would ask, anyone can answer, on a good week when you're actually going out, how many guys hit on you? Whether good and or shitty, how many you think hit on you or ask you out, talk to you in some type of way to get your attention? How many?
Is this a rhetorical
low
question?
Average. No, real question. I want to know answer. Like, give me the low. Give me a low week.
Well, this day and age, nobody not look me.
Okay, you don't count.
This is bad. It's bad out here.
This is the wrong room.
No. I got the other day. I was so excited because it was my first cat call since quarantine. It was so ugly, but you know,
okay.
I was like, I was going for it.
All right, Dre, I gotta reframe this question, Dre. 5-7 years ago. when you guys were really on the scene, on your peak, in your heyday.
Oh no.
What was it when you're actually like, this guy, you know, those days you guys have these guys,
like,
okay, 3 to 5 a week, a day.
I was going by daily averages, three to five.
Okay, you say 20 a week, like, if you're really on the scene, 20 a week.
That seems
like
time. Whoa.
That's good.
Like, if you're combining like DMs, messages, plus cat
DMs,
calling,
messaging,
okay,
parties, all right,
then yeah, about
that's
20
what I'm saying.
Week.
I'm talking about from the smallest one, just a dude be like, hey girl, all of that. 20. Mm-hmm. We get none. All right. So from that particular point of view, you got to understand all the times that you're getting hit on, those are L's and losses. You know how much that is if you gather it all up together? And then that's on a small scale. Imagine the next level when you actually think the girl's interested. And so now you plan stuff. and you, because obviously guys are in the mode that we have to plan. We never meet a girl the first day and she's like, yeah, let's go here, there, and there. You have to do this stuff. You have to pull her. So we're always in that mode. So there's a lot of L's that have to be taken when you're in that mode, because you're always casting out the real. You're always casting out the real. And
anticipation. That's the thing that kills you. It's because you're getting ready. That is, yeah. Back then, you're listening to Usher, you're listening to all this stuff, and you're like, yeah, my life is going to be like that night. And like how it is in the video. And then you get there, and then you either A, can't get in the club because your friend bullshitting and can't actually get you in. So you have to line up like everyone else. And then that girl's going to, when she's in the line with you, I've been there with that one. When she's in the line with you, she's like calling. So, hey, listen, I'm going to go meet my friend. I'll meet you back in there. Don't worry.
Girls are cold, man. Well,
you know what? If you weren't paying with Usher bucks, maybe you would have gotten in.
Faking it till you made it, and we knew it. We got to call our friend and leave this fake it till you make it situation.
But what happened to just be like, hey, that's what I'm saying. So guys always have to think, because if he says, hey, you know what, I want to just take you to this club, but I don't got no plugs, we just got to the line. You're like, no. You know, exactly my point. So
it's
you're
okay like, if this- you don't have any plugs, just get, make sure you have the money to get into,
You sound nice on this podcast. Let him tell you now. We got to get there early.
I'm going to ask you a question.
I'm not getting there early.
Guys, so girls can get in free? Like, no, you better pay for it.
That's what I'm saying. What if he's like, no, we want to go to the club, but we got to get in before 12:30 because, you know, girls getting free and you drink free before 1. You're like, no, right? Exactly.
That's so we got cool. Fake when it we were 18, 19, that was cool when we were 18, 19 years old. But now at 32 years old, just pay the man $400 if you really want to go here. Just pay him. Gosh. Just do it.
See, the boy. See, what happens is that your boy would tell you that you must have a hookup in the club or something like that. And the boy would be like, yo, if you get here at 10, then I'll make sure you get in. And then the girl's like, oh, I want to meet you. And I was thinking about meeting at 12. They want to come in at the cool time.
Now, I had a story with a guy that thought he kind of knew me, and I was DJing on the beach or wherever. He tried to hit me and try to invite some girls. And I said, cool, but you have to be at a certain time, because I'm not going out there at 2:30 to try to get you in with the bounce and them yelling at me. Pull up at 2:30, and I didn't see the phone. So that's what you get. So he's like, man, I was outside, man. The girls was like, I told you to come at so-and-so.
You want to try and come in the cool time?
At the cool time? You better pay like everybody else. And he was embarrassed. So sometimes you got to listen to the rules of engagement.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. So can I go now, Dre? Are we good? Are we good for this
episode? You can end the show, my friend.
I can end the show now? Thank you so much. On behalf of the crew, Camden, Camellia, Gen Seed, Dre, I'm DJ Genesis. It's been an amazing show here on The Drop. Make sure you look us up on all of the streaming platforms, and we are there. The Drop, we are out. Peace.